welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, back from the week vacation for Thanksgiving. I hope everybody had a wonderful time. Thank you so much to the guest host who took over. But we're back now, and we're hitting the ground running. We have a lot to talk about today. A lot to talk about. And I'll get into sort of what's happened over the last Thanksgiving week here on the other side. But let's begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Monday, the 1st of December, 2025. FDA links 10 children's deaths to COVID-19 vaccines. Doctors want proof. That's the headline from ABC News. And there's a first time for everything, right? The doctors are finally asking for proof of the statements from the FDA or the CDC. CDC drops universal COVID shot recommendations. The top vaccine chief of the Food and Drug Administration sent out a memo saying the FDA will seek a stricter review and approval protocol for vaccine trials. In the memo on Friday, Dr. Vinay Prasad claimed a new review of records linked 10 children's deaths to the COVID vaccine, saying these deaths are related to vaccination, likely probable possible attribution made by staff, Prasad wrote. So it's good to see them acknowledge at least 10 of the God only knows how many people killed by these so-called vaccines that never worked in the first place. We'll return to that later. Meanwhile, after a productive meeting with Ukrainian negotiators in Florida, U.S. officials head to Russia. Ukraine and U.S. negotiators said Sunday's meeting on ending the war with Russia, which included talks on possible elections, land swaps, and security guarantees, was productive. And top U.S. envoys will head to Moscow on Monday for further discussions. Along with this, there's a lot of headlines about how Europe is going to, you know, NATO is going to try to take on Russia alone. No, you're not. No, you're not, though. You're actually not. And we do seem to be moving closer to some form of peace. And we pray it comes sooner than later. Meanwhile, Maduro resurfaces in Caracas as Trump says he has spoken to the Venezuelan president. Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro made his first public appearance in days on Sunday, putting an end to speculation within the country that he'd fled amid escalating tensions with the U.S. Maduro, who usually appears on Venezuelan television multiple times a week, had not been seen in public since Wednesday when he posted a video of himself driving around Caracas on his Telegram channel, leading to intense speculation as to his whereabouts. But on Sunday, he appeared at an annual specialty coffee awards in eastern Caracas. And so, of course, the conflict with Venezuela continues to be one of the top stories, as Pete Hegseth is in hot water for supposedly making comment about kill them all. Now there's all this talk about war crimes and double tap strikes, and we'll get into all of it. It's all, in my opinion, totally superfluous and unnecessary and a distraction from the real fight going on to wrestle America out of the hands of the invaders that have flooded our country over the last couple of decades. But we'll get into all the nitty-gritty details. We'll go over what exactly is a war crime, what exactly, you know, is the justification for how they're carrying out these strikes. And my personal opinion is, again, it's just, it's not what they're telling us. I have this bit of skepticism that I can't quite shake, that I think the real reason we're targeting Venezuela has absolutely nothing to do with drugs, with Venezuela, with election meddling, or anything of the sort, but probably a lot to do with the fact that Venezuela is a very powerful ally of the Palestinians, and again, we'll get into that later. But speaking of Israel, Netanyahu asks Israel president for pardon amid corruption trial. He's trying to get a pardon. He's making statements about this. They've been investigating him for 10 years. And he launched the Gaza war in part to distract from the corruption trial that is pushing Israel to the point of civil war. Finally, we have this. Kristi Noem claims suspect in National Guard shooting was radicalized in the U.S. We do have some updates as to the condition of the National Guard people, the man and the woman targeted for assassination by an Afghan. We'll bring you some updates to that. One of the National Guard's and died. The woman died. The man continues to fight for his life and is now conscious and has given a thumbs up to the nurse. And that's the latest from that. But we'll get into everything here, how we got to this point, where it goes from here on the other side. Stay with us. That's your Daily Dispatch brought to you, of course, by thealexjonesstore.com. Massive sale. I'll tell you about it on the other side as well. Stay with us.
Alex Jones, patriot. A man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life. but they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on x.com.
Welcome back, folks. It's December, meaning we're getting Christmassy here at InfoWars. The Christmas decorations are up. My Thanksgiving break is over. And Lord, what a break it was. I actually, for a week, uninstalled X from my phone. I hardly use my desktop that much, so I was more or less totally disconnected. Although that's not entirely true. It was an effort to, you know, disconnect from the chaos of the New World Order, the info war, all that stuff, and just, you know, spend time with family, totally disconnected. And it worked to some degree. To some degree, that is what happened. To another degree, I ended up just going on a lot of other social media sites instead of X. And I'll tell you, yeah, X is the best. Nothing else even remotely holds a candle to X. If you're not on X, you just don't know what's going on anywhere ever. But it is interesting. Instagram is fascinating. It's almost more out there and edgy and right-wing than even X is. It's crazy, except it's all like attractive young women talking about how Jeffrey Epstein was part of an international mafia. It's fascinating. And it's showing how widespread our message is becoming. And I think in a way, sticking on, you know, being off for a week and being on Instagram or Reddit, my God. Y'all ever been to Reddit? I mean, retards as far as the eye can see. It is truly, it's depressing. It's depressing. I mean, if you go to a leftist site, which like Reddit is, it's just, you're just staring into the abyss. It's just brainless morons, just people just utterly unknowledgeable about absolutely anything ever, but very angry and very opinionated. It's an awful place. I'll say 4chan has really kind of gone off the rails. It's not what it used to be. Not what it used to be whatsoever. No, X is the only place that, you know, has any relevance whatsoever as far as I'm concerned. But then you go on there, and again, it's like all of these flame wars. There's multiple various fronts being battled on at any certain type. And I missed a lot over the last week. I haven't talked much about the Marjorie Taylor Greene resignation or anything like that. Maybe we can get into some of that here. But I think like taking a week off, it's like, okay, it's, we almost have to, as InfoWars, we have to like consciously determine that, like, we are not in the shadows anymore. We've operated for 30 years as like the dark horse, the black sheep. People, you know, were saying things that nobody else was saying. Now everybody's saying it, and everybody's going insane. And so it's almost like we have to consciously go, okay, we can't be leading from the back anymore. We got to get out in the front, and we always have. I mean, we've always, you know, combined our political coverage with political activism and actually led the marches, led the revolution that brought, you know, Trump into office, completely upended the plans of the New World Order. We've always been out front in that way. But now it's like so many people are having their eyes open to this. And it's like, it's the type of thing, it's Plato's cave, right? Everybody's in the dark cave watching the shadows. And when you escape, it hurts and it's blinding. And you want to go back in the cave because it's too bright. The sun is too painful. And actually, when you pull people out of the cave, they might hate you and fight you because they think what you're doing is painful to them. while their eyes adjust. But once you're out of the cave, where do you go? Who do you follow? What trail do you start walking down? So I feel like it's kind of InfoWars' job to sort of just start over from the beginning and go, guys, the Matrix is real. You're in a cave. The world is run by a cabal of psychopaths that is working feverishly to enslave and or kill every man, woman, and child. And they're motivated by a variety of different inclinations or impetuses. But in the end, all of their plans are the same. It's all about control. It's all about consolidation. It's all about centralization. And it's all about using lies, using deception, using psychological manipulation to succeed where guns and knives and swords would fail. To enslave humanity in a prison of lies, in a prison of deception, and in a prison of psychiatry, basically, that's had immense amounts of success, not only in enslaving humanity, but in fooling humanity into thinking that slavery is freedom, and fooling people into thinking that, like, having a morality that is utterly subjective and disconnected from objective good and evil. And this is the realization that I've come to. So we're going to talk a lot today about the big picture going on. If you want to get into the details, we can do that. We can dive in. I'm going to take your calls today as well. We don't have any guests. Trump is doing something at 4 that I know we're going to keep an eye out for, but I don't think it's public. I think it's a private meeting that he's doing. But if there's any, you know, answering questions or anything, we'll go to that as well. We'll talk about what's going on in Venezuela and all of that. But I also want to tell you, I don't even know how to really break into this topic. Do we have the censored videos? Is clip 27 censored? Telling the crew, let me know when 27 censored, because I want to go to that as well. But let's go to clip 15 first, just to sort of set the table. I know we all know this, but like people have to understand. And the other thing is like hanging out with family who, you know, most of my family's pretty based. Most of them, you know, more or less know what's going on. But as I'm talking to them and I'm talking about people they know, and I get the feeling that there's like two types of patriots in this country. There's the patriots of the people and the patriots of the government. It's kind of hard to explain, but I feel like what Trump is doing right now is really satisfying the patriots of the government. Like the people that they see the health of a nation as the GDP and things like that, they are loving what's going on. I mean, I was talking to people who they're just like, you know, raving about Trump, just saying people have no idea how he is systematically destroying America's enemies. And I'm sitting here going, but what about all of the things that are happening here? What about how America itself is being gutted and destroyed from the inside out? What about the H-1B visas? Like the H-1B visa might be the perfect topic, like inflection point to fulcrum to talk about, because it's like, okay, if you're for the H-1B visas, you're for America as a GDP, America as some sort of set of numbers to be maximized. But if you're against H-1B visas, you're a patriot of the people. You're a patriot of the American people and wanting them to do better. Even if it means GDP goes down, we want the people of America to succeed, not the people of India to come here and extract resources. I feel like that's a major divide that I can't even quite quantify or like, you know, designate these are these people and these are these people, because there's a lot of crossover. There's a lot of wiggle room. There's a lot of overlap. But at the end of the day, I think this is also at the heart of the so-called MAGA civil war, because a lot of people, again, they are in support of Trump. They think what Trump is doing is very, you know, like important, and like what he's doing is stabilizing the economic world because they're scared of a big crash. Like, I'm not scared of a big crash. I kind of want a big crash. Actually, for housing prices to go down, we need a big crash. I want to expel so many people that all of the industries that rely on illegal immigration all go down in flames. I don't care because they don't serve me. They don't help me. They don't help my family. They don't help my country. They are just resource extraction mechanisms. I feel like that's a very important divide that we have to, like, you know, try to highlight. And it's the understanding that we're going to have to break some eggs here. We're trying to make an omelet. We're going to have to break some eggs, which is fine. And, like, to do that is necessary, and we can recognize that and craft the narrative around that, explaining why these eggs have to be broken. But it has to be done in such a way that actually succeeds in making the omelet. Right now, it seems like what Trump is doing is breaking a bunch of eggs and then leaving the eggs broken and uncooked on the kitchen counter. And it's like, okay, if you're going to break the eggs, it has to be towards an end. You have to be doing something that means that the breaking of the eggs is not just justified, but, like, required in the achievement of that thing. The crossing the Rubicon. You don't cross the Rubicon as Caesar and then try to have a conversation. It's a declaration of war. We have had war declared against us. We have, in turn, accepted that declaration of war and declared war against them, and yet we're not fighting like that. We're not fighting like it's a war. We're fighting like it's a debate club. We're fighting like, you know, hey, maybe we win this one and you guys win the next one, and then we duke it out a third time. It's like, no, if they win again, it's over. It's over. In every quantifiable way, it is over for America if the Democrats ever get back into power again. We have to understand this, and you have to notice their plans, notice their operations. You have to notice and take seriously the fact that they are literally engaged in a Bolshevik-style revolution in this country, and then take the extraordinary measures to crush that completely, not just fan the flames of it by pissing everybody off, by doing stupid stuff that doesn't actually, you know, limit their action whatsoever. Does that make sense? Let's go to this video about the color revolution. This is from a user called RealDefender45, clip 15, explaining that we are, in fact, in a color revolution. We have to take this as seriously as it demands. And, you know, to a certain degree, I'm just like, I'm kind of ready just to give up on the whole Trump thing, to be honest with you. I mean, the fact that we're still talking about the Seditious Six, not only are we still talking about the Seditious Six, they're still making even crazier statements to this day on national television. And so at a certain point, it's like, okay, if they were going to be arrested, it would have happened by now. So I think I can pretty much say with extreme confidence, nobody from the Seditious Six is ever going to be arrested. Nobody is ever going to be arrested for publicly declaring that the army should refuse orders. Why that's not happening? I guess people in office are cowards. Like, the people running our country are just absolute cowards that have somehow been convinced. It's almost like they think they need Mark Kelly's approval to arrest him. It's like they think that we have to talk to the Seditious Six and get them to go, you know what, you're right, I did commit treason, better arrest me, and only then are we allowed to arrest them. It's this weird thing. They've broken the law, you are the law enforcer, go arrest them. It's so simple, and I'm just frankly sick of talking about it. By the way, do you have any idea who these people are? You see the woman on the left there, second to left? That's Jake Sullivan's wife. Okay, Jake Sullivan, Pentagon spokesperson, Clinton crony. I mean, it's all the same people from all the way back then. I don't see a path forward for Trump, to be honest with you. I really don't. Let's go to the color revolution. We'll pick it up on the other side. But, like, I think it's too late. I don't think there's anything Trump can do at this point, or at least he's not willing to. There's like 10 things he could do and it would just solve all the problems in a week. He's not doing them. He's not going to do them. And, like, they just threw out the Comey and Letitia James. Like, didn't we say that? I would say it as a joke. Be like, the bare minimum what we got was at least we got Comey and Letitia James on, like, lying to Congress. Fine. If that's what we get, good enough. But I doubt that's even going to stick. And, of course, it hasn't. It's been thrown out. They're not being charged. They're not under any threat. They're free to, you know, go about tearing our country down from the inside. there's a level of frustration that is unsustainable. So I don't know, maybe we need a different tack. Let's go to the Color Revolution video here, and then I'll pick this up on the other side.
You've now probably heard political experts over and over refer to the fact that what we're witnessing is a color revolution. And they're right. And let me explain why. A color revolution is a communist globalist playbook to take over a country without tanks actually rolling down Main Street. It's how they flipped places like Serbia, Georgia, Ukraine, and they tried to flip a dozen others. The same exact playbook every single time. This is how they do it. One, they demonize the leader of the people who they actually voted for. Two, they flood the country with chaos like riots, open borders, economic pain. Three, they weaponize the courts, the media, and big tech to finish him off. And four, they install a puppet who sells the country out to China and the UN. And that's not theory, that's the manual. They opened it on us in the United States the day Donald Trump won in 2016. And here's how they ran it on us step by step. From 2016 to 2020, they gave us the Russia collusion hoax, FBI spying, two fake impeachments, Antifa burning cities while CNN called it fiery but mostly peaceful, and the goal was to make you hate the guy you voted for. In 2020, we had 2 a.m. ballot dumps, boarded up windows, 51 Intel agents lying about Hunter's laptop, Zuckerberg dropping $400 million to help count votes in Democrat cities. And the goal there was to steal the election while calling you a conspiracy theorist for noticing. From 2021 to 2024, we had Joe Biden opening the border on day one, 12 million plus illegals, military age men from China and Venezuela and all over the world, free flights, free hotels, free EBT cards, all on your dime. Cities collapse, crime explodes, schools and hospitals break. The goal, to make Americans feel like strangers in their own country. Then from 2021 to 2025, 91 felony charges, Mar-a-Lago raided, gag orders, mug shots. They didn't want to just beat Trump. They wanted to break him and every future patriot who dares to run. Look at what they did to Charlie Kirk. That is a textbook color revolution. But on November 5th, 2024, the American people looked this Marxist coup dead in the eye and said, not today. 312 electoral votes, popular vote landslide, the biggest Hispanic and Black Republican turnout ever. We pulled off the greatest peaceful counter-revolution in world history. But the deep state isn't done. The same snakes who funded BLM riots, Ukraine coup, and Arab Spring still sit in the FBI, CIA, big tech, and the universities. They'll try again in 2026 or in 2028, but now you know the game. Every time you see another mostly peaceful riot, sudden experts all using the same scripted words, a new crisis 2 weeks before an election, you're watching the Color Revolution playbook live on American soil. Never forget what they tried to do to us. Back mass deportations. If we have no border, we have no country. Protect every America First fighter willing to swing the axe on the swamp. Teach your kids the truth. Communism didn't die in 1991. It just dyed its hair purple and moved to Washington. This is still the United States of America. We are still the home of the brave, and the brave do not bow to color revolutions. Recognize what is happening, stare it in the face, speak out against it, and then we finish taking our country back, one closed border, one drained swamp, and one restored republic at a time. We need to support our president in taking all necessary measures to do just that. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America.
So that was a very powerful video from a woman named Real Defender 45 on X. I completely agree with her. Again, this is the frustration, is that we don't need a new political creation. We don't need some novel theory of utopianism. We need to enforce the laws. We have the laws. They're on the books. We just don't enforce them. It's like, what do we need to do? Close the border? Okay, well, that is the law. It's supposed to be closed. What are you talking about? Oh, they opened it up illegally and flooded our country with tens of millions of people. Okay, then punish the people that did that. They broke the law. Okay, get people off the streets. Great. When they commit a crime, throw them in jail. Like, it's not complicated at all to do what we have to. It's just about doing it, and we cannot get people in power to do it. We did participate in the greatest counter-revolution of all time, and absolutely nothing of substance has come from it. And again, we'll get into it. That people today, and calling me a black pillar for talking about the deportations not being nearly enough, or scoffing at the, you know, elimination of the protected status for Somalians. It's not enough, y'all. It's not enough. It's like it's 1945 and the Germans are bragging about how efficiently they took over France. It's like, okay, so what? You have to win the war. It doesn't matter. It's like, well, but we've done this and we've done this and we've done this. It's like, okay, but you're going to lose the war and then all of your soldiers are going to be sent off to be worked to death in Siberian slave camps. So, yeah, you took over France really efficiently. That was, the logistics there were really off the charts, really incredible stuff. You're going to lose the war and you're all going to die. So that's where we're at right now. I don't want to hear about how successful closing the border was. Great, but you're going to lose the war because you haven't done enough. Okay, yeah, you took France really efficiently. Have you thought about Russia yet? Have you considered Stalingrad and what's going to happen there? That's sort of where we're at this point. It's a little black-pilled, but it's reality-pilled. And we can't keep, supporting an administration that doesn't deserve it, isn't worthy of it, and doesn't have America's best interest in mind. That's just my take. And again, we can get all the way into it. Let's go to clip three here quickly. This is Russell Brand.
Particularly if it fits within the milieu that I've come to recognize as defining our times, control masked as care, convenience to elicit yet further control, that the bureaucracies of our age indeed mask and perhaps are the essence of yet the tyranny of our age. I suppose we still have the hangover of the last century when I think of despotism and dictators and tyranny and totalitarianism. I think of mustachioed dictators and shiny jackboots and red, white and black flags and Nuremberg and parades and Sturm and Drang. But now totalitarianism comes masked in bureaucracy. Control comes insidiously like a gentle fog under your door, like a warning, we're here to help you. And I suppose I'm alert to that because as a person in recovery from addiction, we of course have to learn about the obvious forms of dependency like drug, alcohol, and then even things like pornography and gambling. But one gets a sense that the root, or at least more deep than the items I've just listed, is codependency, where relationships become dependent. Now, I believe, of course, as a Christian, that you can only depend on Christ, but the state wants you to depend on the state. And by the state, I mean, the nexus of interest that include global bureaucracies, national governments, corporate commercial interests. They've become masterful at controlling and centralizing information, and the movement, of which you are obviously a significant part, was a significant breach in their ability to control data. And I think we are now witnessing the reformation of their power. How do they delegitimize information? How do they smear and destroy people that convey true information? And once you know that all they care about is control, because once you have control, you can do what you want.
Right.
You can profit financially or you can regulate. Then once you've understood that, then things become clearer. So I try not to believe in things just because I want to believe in them, because I've gotten to the point, because of, I suppose, anger, where I want to believe that...
Sure.
That,
you have a confirmation bias based on some anger and rage.
Yes.
As does the other side.
So we'll return to this on the other side, but again, it's just a little bit frustrating. It's just like it's literally what we've been saying, or I've been saying personally, for the last 5 years. It's all about control, wielding information to enslave you. We'll be back on the other side, how we break out of this. It's not hard.
My fellow info warriors, we are having right now, in late November into early December, the biggest sale in the history of InfoWars. That's in 28 years. You know why? It's the InfoWars closing mega blowout sale. And some would say, well, the bad guys are about to take it over. Why should we support it? There's not even enough money in here to keep us running until they have the state auction, or they're saying mid-December to early January. And here's the catch. If they have a real auction and allow good guys to come in and bid, well, then we'll just continue on. I just won't be the owner. But you already saw the federal auction that even the judge said was a fraud and wasn't real to The Onion and Bloomberg and the Democrats. And so because they're the plaintiffs and they control what's happening through the state court judge that ran the original show trial on us, I'm not holding my breath. I mean, barring a miracle, they're going to auction it to themselves for $1 or whatever, and then this place shuts down. We've got the Alex Jones Network, our great sponsor, Bigly. But I'll tell you this. We'll shut down for sure if funds don't come in to InfoWarsStore.com. Because remember last year when The Onion, this time last November, announced that they owned us, sales went down over 75% and have stayed like that because people were like, well, we're not going to give them money. But of course, the judge ruled they didn't buy it. And of course, The Onion says now they intend to try to bid and get it again.
What would you control?
I mean, I really would like to control InfoWars.
No, that's a good answer.
But regardless, it doesn't matter. Our tank is on zero, basically. Okay, we're on E. This is just enough money coming in with the products we have to pay the payroll, to keep the lights on, and to operate to see if this final Hail Mary shot with the state auction works and if good guys are actually allowed to buy it. So remember, the plaintiffs have said they don't want money. They want us off the air. So I'm not going to give up. I'm going to go right to the line here. And this is the biggest sale. You ever heard us say 75% off? That's right. And the products we have are products with great manufacturers, supplement makers that love us and have been giving it to us on spec. So this is all fresh, ladies and gentlemen. We've been in bankruptcy. We've not been able to buy new product. But with this system, we have the product on hand, ready to ship to you, and you're guaranteed to get it. So take action right now. Emergency fundraiser. Last chance to save up to 75% at InfoWarsStore.com. Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula, the very strongest, 40% off. Ultimate Fish Oil, the highest quality, incredible, 40% off. Prebiotic Fiber, 75% off. Pain MD, an incredible natural pain reliever. It works incredibly. This is a product that I came up with top designers. Final run of that available. Pain MD, 60% off. Nitric Boost, a fan favorite. Dr. Judy Mikovits loves it. Cleans out the heart. So good for the cardiovascular. Spike protein detoxer, and men have a great effect, let's just say, in the man department with it. Nitric Boost, 40% off. Plus, great deals on books, DVDs, shirts, hoodies, and other items at InfoWarsStore.com. So this is probably the last run. These are collectible items. It's history. Help us fight right up to the end, never giving up, and trusting in God for a miracle if that's God's will. But God works through you, so take action, which is probably the last time you can, here in the next month at InfoWarsStore.com.
Is there's going to be a large set of plaintiffs who are going to be dividing up the corpse of InfoWars in the bankruptcy estate.
And money is just one component of that, and not the most important component of it.
Take Alex Jones' platform that he talks about away.
And if you're considering giving him money, I just want you to know that based on the jury's verdict today, it's not a very good bet.
The money's not even really the question for me. The question is, will this suit be successful at stopping him from being on the national stage?
Take him out.
What would you control?
I mean, I really would like to control InfoWars.
No, that's a good answer.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
All right, welcome back, folks. Welcome back to the War Room.
Jack Frost nipping.
A special Christmas edition. I do want to remind you, the Cyber Weekend sale does end tonight. It ends tonight at midnight. You're getting 60% off absolutely everything on the entire site, which is kind of ridiculous. I don't even understand. This is the biggest sale we've ever done, ever. Add any product to your cart, and your discount will be automatically applied. This offer ends Monday, December 1st, tonight at midnight. Visit thealexjonesstore.com today. Fuel your body, mind, and power the InfoWar. Plus, every purchase gets 50 times entries to win our Jeep Rubicon 392, plus $10,000 cash, and a brand-new Ford Raptor, plus $10,000 cash giveaways. So you're entered to win with 50 times entries for every dollar you spend, and every single thing on the store is 60% off. Every single thing. If you've ever even thought about ordering something from the Alex Jones store, now is absolutely the time. You only have a couple hours left, so go now to thealexjonesstore.com. Just try something out. It's like ridiculously cheap. Did you see how good Ultramethylene Blue is? See how powerful the Ultimate CMOS is. Or do your Christmas shopping for the InfoWarrior and your family. We've got a ton of awesome hats. Ton of awesome just shirts, sweatshirts, all sorts of apparel on sale now. Plus, you're getting entered to win those incredible SUVs, the Jeep, the Raptor, and $10,000 cash with every order. TheAlexJonesStore.com keeps us on the air and in the fight. And of course, the thing that I always appreciated about InfoWars before I worked here was the fact that it was more than just talking about stuff. It was doing stuff. It was, of course, the revelation about the evil that controls all our world, but it was also the blueprint on how to overthrow it, on how to be awakened and active and not give up, and to certainly not take their demoralization at face value. And that's sort of what I want to get into here, because there is a very intense demoralization campaign going on right now, specifically targeting white people and white Americans in particular, but Americans overall. And we don't fall for it. We're not going to fall for it, because the truth is that if we can get enough people on board, if we can wake enough people up the right way, because a lot of people are waking up right now, but it's not a guarantee that they're suddenly on our side and aware and embracing things that we value. It just means that they are realizing that a bunch of evil people control the world. And a lot of times that just leads people to think, well, capitalism bad. Capitalism bad. I better, you know, vote for a form of government that gives all of the power unquestionably to the people who I hate. I mean, it's truly, truly retarded. But InfoWars was always out front. It was always, you know, leading the charge. And frankly, we've been legally prevented from doing that for a while. First couple of years I worked here, every couple of weeks, we were going out on assignment. We were leading protests or being on the ground, you know, capturing firsthand coverage of major events. Then they took over our bank account, and we've been very limited in our ability to do that type of stuff. I'm very excited to get back to that from whatever happens. This bankruptcy is coming to an end one way or the other, and either we'll have to give up InfoWars and go under Alex Jones Network and fire up then, or, you know, InfoWars will continue against all odds. And that would be amazing as well. No matter what, we continue to be on the forefront of this movement, the Liberty Movement, and we will, to an increasing degree, be more and more involved actually on the ground in the organization. But that's what really sets us apart and what put the target on our back in the first place. And I think the revelation that needs to happen now, the revelation that, like, is desperately needed to break out of this feedback loop that we're in, where the Democrats make everything worse, and then they point to that thing they made worse and say, look how bad this is. Don't you want change? We're here to represent change. Then they make everything worse again, and then we're just in this feedback loop until we become South Africa 2.0. We need to break that. And the way to break it is by being fearless. And that's the only thing that's limiting us, is fear. It's the only thing, is the fear of being called names, the fear of backlash, where if we're rude to a group or whatever it is. We have to get over that fear, and we have to not just, like, abandon the fear or drive over the fear, but, like, recognize the fear is misplaced. Recognize, like, there's nothing to be afraid of. There is no reason to be fearful of this, and that the cage that's around our mind right now is illusionary. We can break out at any point. The reason I say this is because there's been a lot of talk about basically white people hating themselves. And I don't know why. I've just seen this crop up over and over again, where there's a tweet today where it was like, people are losing hope because they see that nobody cares about this event or nobody cares about that event. And he says, you know, the thing that made me realize is when I saw, like, a black ice hockey player kick a guy and cut his throat and kill him on the ice, and no one seemed to care. And everybody cheered when the murderer came back on the ice after a suspension. And it's like, oh, from one perspective, like, what the person I'm talking about, what the guy saw was a very obvious and deliberate attack that killed a person. But to everybody else, it was like, oh, it was a big accident. It was, oh, how tragic. This is just horrible. And there's this weird, like, indoctrinated suicidal tendency that white people have as a collective. And the fear that stops people from breaking out of that is the fear of being seen as a racist, as a white supremacist, or whatever else. And that's the fear that we need to break out of, because it's not valid. It's not legitimate. It's, if you're against racism, then you should be against anti-white racism. It's not that complicated. If you're against people being targeted by institutions for destruction, you should be against it for everybody. It's really not a hard stance to take. And it really shouldn't be hard in the face of the people that we have trying to demoralize us. So we'll start with some demoralization here. We'll go to Wajat Ali. I haven't even watched this yet. Clip 22. I guess this is a immigrant Muslim guy telling white Christians in America that we've lost, or Christians overall in America, that we've lost, that it's over. Okay, this is a deliberate attempt at demoralization. Don't fall for it. We'll play it here, but just remember, nothing is lost. Absolutely nothing is lost in this world as long as there is still a group of people who understand what's really going on and have hope for the future and are working towards that. Here's Wajat Ali trying to demoralize us into surrendering when we haven't lost. Let's watch.
You have lost. You lost. The mistake that you made is you let us in the first place. See, that's the thing with brown people. I'm going to say this as a brown person. There's a lot of us. Like a lot. There's like 1.2 billion in India. There's more than 200 million in Pakistan. There's like 170 million in Bangladesh. Those are just the people there. I'm even talking about the folks who are expats or immigrants. There's a bunch of us. And we breed. We're a breeding people. And the problem is you let us in 1965. There were a few of us beforehand. But once you let one of us in, you know what happens with brown folks? Our grandmother comes, our grandfather comes, our uncle comes, our aunt comes, our cousin comes, our second cousin comes, our third cousin comes. Then we have kids, a bunch of kids. And then guess what? Some white women, you know, the Western civilization women, the pure women, the American women, quote unquote, the Rust Belt women, the real women, they like some of us brown folks. We don't take them. They come to us. So we're embedded. We are everywhere. We are everywhere. I've traveled this country. I'm going to speak as a brown person. Brown people are everywhere. There will be a Patel Motel or there will be a Desi restaurant everywhere. I want you to realize this. You have lost. Your story is a shitty story filled with misery. It's filled with bland chicken. It's filled with terrible, terrible dry ass meat. Your music sucks. All your culture sucks. Nobody. That's why the kids like listen to black people and their music. That's why the kids love Latinos. Your parties suck because they're monochromatic. Our parties have better food, better music, better looking women.
I'm sorry. What? I'm sorry. What was that last part? Whoa, that one. I wasn't expecting that one. Okay. I think we ignore everything else that he said. Better looking women, really? I thought you were just bragging about how the white women come over to the brown people. By the way, statistically, white women, the least likely to race mix out of any gender or race, the least likely are white women to race mix. So again, that's demoralization. That's an attempt at demoralization. The fact is, Americans, that is white people, that is the culture that white people created in America, is just, I don't even have to say it. I don't even have to say it. We're just the coolest. We're just the best. Our culture has literally boxed every other culture out everywhere it goes. Everybody in the world tries desperately to mimic what we created by accident. So what are you talking about? Who is trying to be Indian? Who is looking at Pakistan and celebrating their cultural exports? Absolutely nobody. Okay? So it's ridiculous, but it's also a declaration of war. It's also obviously an attempt to create, you know, racial division to, you know, exploit that to destroy white people. Like, he just hates white people. It's very simple. It's not that complicated. Because it's out of jealousy, because he's jealous of white people, because obviously, like, it feels weird to me. It's uncomfortable to me because of how true it is to explain how superior European and American culture is. I feel bad because of how superior it is, because I'm de facto insulting whatever this is, right? So I feel bad. Like, he knows that it's not true, which is why he's so confident in saying it. Do you understand? So just don't be demoralized. Understand that these weird brown people like Wajat Ali has to try to tear you down to build himself up. He's right about the population numbers. He's wrong about we can't do anything about it or that it's impossible. Have we looked at the map of Al-Andalus? Have we looked at the map of what Spain looked like before the Reconquista? Because the Christian monarchies had been diminished to barely existing on the very northern coast of Spain, and then they waged war for a couple hundred years and won it all back. It wouldn't take us that long if we really were motivated and wanted to do it. It'd be a simple matter. but they like think that they've won. They want you to think that they've won in order to demoralize you so you don't fight back, or you think, ah, gee, I better just play along because these guys are in charge now and I don't want them to get me or whatever. It doesn't matter what you do. They're coming for you no matter what. They're absolutely coming for you no matter what. So again, just a very like insulting and I don't know. He's literally portraying his own race as like a bioweapon. He's just like, there's so many of us and we breed out of control and we consume everything in our path. It's like, I'm sorry, am I watching a TikTok from a locust? Am I watching a TikTok from a virus of some sort? Why are you bragging about this? Again, a lot of people get uncomfortable with this because, you know, it's like white people. I mean, why is everybody trying to, you know, 40 to 50% of every single person in Africa is trying to get off that continent. Half the people in Africa, one half, 50%, are desperately trying to get off of that continent and come to Europe and come to America. Everybody in India is trying to come to America and come to Europe. Why would that be? Because our culture is so crappy, because we have bland chicken, because we're the best at everything all the time, constantly, forever, throughout all of history. Okay. Now, that makes people feel uncomfortable to discuss that. You need to get over it. You need to get over it. That has been seeded into you. You have been impregnated by an alien force who has laid an egg in your brain that has hatched and become self-hatred. There's nothing to be ashamed of. Celebrating white culture, white people, white history. It's magnificent, truly. And would it be different if I wasn't white? Would it be different if I wasn't a white person saying this? Because I'll say exactly the same thing about other cultures. Doesn't feel weird then. If I talk about how superior the Japanese culture is, how magnificent it is, doesn't make you feel weird, does it? Doesn't make you kind of cringe, does it? Because you're celebrating a culture, but it's not white. So that seed in your mind doesn't flare up. It doesn't, you know, send the alarm. Oh, no, no, you're not supposed to say that. So you got to break through that. You got to get over that. You have to understand it's not about being a white person and loving white people. It's about being a human being and loving white people. Okay? And I've got a pretty good example of this. Let's go to clip 27 here. Somebody who just understands exactly what everybody should understand and nobody does for some reason. And the for some reason is because of decade upon decade of concerted, deliberate propaganda trying to stop you from thinking this way. Let's go to the black guy.
So Piers Morgan and Tucker Carlson were having a conversation about how basically the white population is going extinct in England, right? And Piers Morgan was basically sitting there and being like, you know what? I really got a real big deal with that. You know, I like my Indian restaurants and my tikka masala. You know, I'm f***ing with that. And in fact, I would replace a lot of white people with a lot of foreigners coming in. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, see, this is what Piers Morgan and a lot of niggas don't really understand. Whiteness and the West go hand in hand. Whiteness and exploration go hand in hand. Whiteness and philosophy goes hand in hand. Whiteness and democracy goes hand in hand. What does this mean? If white people are gone, the West is gone. All the things that has made the West great has come from white people. That's just the truth. So if all these niggas are gone and you have the entire third world, Muhammad, Omar, all these niggas coming to your country and all the white people are now fucking gone, the third world just becomes the third world again. These niggas are coming to the West because the West is great. The West was created by white people. If the white people are fucking gone, then the West is not going to be great anymore. This is where you're just going to get the constant authoritarianism, the tyranny, and all the bullshit that you were trying to escape from because the white people are gone. That's why we actually needed the wiggers. If the wiggers are gone, the elections are gone. I'm gonna be sitting here with all you dumb niggas because y'all aren't thinking about space. You guys aren't thinking about inventing anything or having democracy or any of these high levels of thought. I'm gonna be like, hey y'all, we need an election. Y'all gonna be like, nah, that war, let's just kill niggas, because that's what it's like. So white people getting replaced is actually a horrible thing for the West completely.
All right, what's this guy's name? Can we pull up that guy's account? I gotta credit him. Is he wrong? No, he's exactly right. And I've explained this a million times, but this is how the elite think. What did Russell Brand say? It's all about control. It's all about control. It's about psychological control. And so you want to eliminate the population that bucks under a yoke. That's the whole point. all of this stuff, all of these things that they claim to be fighting for, democracy, human rights, like whatever else, it doesn't exist anywhere. It never existed anywhere else, ever, until the Europeans came up with it and then enforced it by violence on other parts of the world. It didn't just naturally arise. It's not just a conclusion that every human comes to. We had to force it onto people. And when it goes away, it doesn't come back. It doesn't just regenerate naturally. It doesn't just respawn. It can go away forever. You can breed that gene out of existence. It's all about control. It's all about control. It's all about control. And again, it's insane to me that you have somebody like that Wajid Ali guy, whatever, the brown biological weapon. Like, he's just saying this stuff and just insulting everything about us. And again, this is why the whole thing is like confusing and nonsensical. This guy, Ali, I have no idea what this is. Alaway Arangandel, Arangandade. I'm not sure how to say this. If you're a radio listener, you got to find the video so you can read this out. Olliearogundade. But I love him. He's exactly right about what he's saying. What's that? Okay, the first name's Ollie. The last name's Arangandade. Well, no offense for not being able to pronounce your name, dude, because you're exactly right. And I appreciate the thought. And again, it should just be everybody should be able to recognize that. The only reason you wouldn't be able to recognize that is if you have some sort of narcissistic element, you know, to you, where like you're mad that other people are doing things that you're not doing. I mean, that really does drive like so much of human behavior. And it's one of those things where you really got to teach your kid it when he's young. Just because somebody else is doing well doesn't mean he's not doing well. I don't know why that's so difficult for people to understand. But let's go to clip number four here, because this is Nick Fuentes. And I don't know why my dad talked about this clip. I saw Dinesh D'Souza talking about this clip. This clip's gone like super viral. And people are, I think, totally misunderstanding the point. And once again, it's just exactly what I've said over and over on this show, which, again, is one of these weird situations where you just, I don't know. It's frustrating to me, personally, saying the same thing over and over for years on end, and somebody else says it, and it goes viral and, you know, causes all this, whatever. Let's go to clip number four here. Nick Fuentes on the need for order.
The problem with libertarianism is that liberty is not the highest political virtue. The highest political virtue is order. That is the greatest ordering principle. That is the greatest governing principle, order. Order comes first. Liberty comes second. And order has to be maintained by a powerful state. Order has to be maintained by authority. And where does authority proceed from? Force? Guns, overwhelming force, power that comes out of the end of a rifle, and legitimacy. The people have to believe in the authority of the state. And if these things are being undermined by freedom, by liberty, then you don't get liberty. And people like to say that Ben Franklin thing about liberty and safety, liberty and safety. It's about order and disorder. Forget about safety and liberty. It's about order and disorder. And what Hobbes writes is that even a bad order is better than disorder, than chaos, than a war of all against all, a total collapse of authority. Because do you know what happens when the power goes out? Rape. Okay? Rape, murder, looting, pillage, marauding, barbarism, an orgy of the crowds, an orgy of violence and chaos and hatred and anger. Okay? It's like the kinds of war crimes in Abu Ghraib, okay? It's like the kinds of war crimes committed in Vietnam, in Iraq. When you have a total collapse of order, you get things that it's beyond human comprehension. So this is a very free country. This is one of the freest countries to ever exist. And the problem is that those things are starting to become undermined, the authority, the force and the legitimacy that founds the authority of the state, which holds the country together, which enforces the laws. And libertarians, they have a little bit too much faith in people and a little bit too much faith in the individual. I don't believe in the individual. And I'm individualistic, but I'm not an individualist. individualism only makes sense in a white, Christian, patriarchal society.
See, and I'd say it just depends on what you're talking about. I mean, you just have to be exact on, you know, where you're invoking these terms. Like, individually, like, justice, I think, has to come on an individual level. I don't think it's just, I'm going to say, it's not just to punish one person for the crimes of another, right? Even if they're in the same group. Now, that being said, you can treat people as groups if their crime is being committed as a group, right? You look at what's going on with the widespread systemic fraud of the Somalis in Minnesota. Okay, even if you didn't actively participate in the fraud, I think for, you know, justice overall, you know, just everybody in that community can be deported, you know, pretty rapidly. But overall, the more important point, like, Dinesh D'Souza didn't like this. He says, I told you this was coming. The people have to believe the authority of the state. Forget about liberty and safety. It's about order. He's quoting Nick, and he says, the fascists and Nazis
were leftists. The problem with libertarian.
And so this is the natural trajectory for Nick. That's not a leftist idea. What has convinced you that's a leftist idea? If freedom or liberty is your ultimate and only goal, then why do you live in a city? Why would you not live in the woods? Why would you not go out to Death Valley and live there? Go live in the jungle. Go live in a failed state where there's no authority. Isn't that liberty? A libertarian, you know, people who love liberty, they don't want to go off and starve to death in the woods. They want to be safe in their homes. Liberty, to me, is the classic image of the American suburb with the streetlights on and the doors unlocked and the kids playing in the yards. Remember the woman in Tennessee, Memphis, when Trump's in the National Guard, and she said, finally, I can let my kids play in my backyard and not fear them getting shot. If you or your kids cannot play in your own backyard, are you free? No. Freedom, liberty requires peace. Peace requires order. It's not a conflict between order and liberty. Order is a prerequisite for liberty. Order first, liberty comes after. You can't do it the other way around. It's not that complicated. Is this our cultural superiors? Oh my gosh. Oh wow, I've been listening to this stupid American music when I could have been jiggling to whatever the crap this is. Jesus Christ. Get it off the screen! Get it off the screen!
Real quick, I just wanted to plug the Methylene Blue. I'm a new supplement buyer from Alex Jones Store, and I keep hearing people talking about the Methylene Blue, and I'm like, you know what? I don't know what the hype is all about, but I definitely want to try it. And what I noticed is I didn't get the sensations that a lot of the other people said that they got, you know, like the tingling fingers and like this, you know, euphoria. But I do have an ample amount of energy, and I'm disabled, so I'm a housewife, and whenever you're at home day in and day out, 7 days a week, it really tends to drag after some time. And there were things that I wasn't doing around the house that I should have. But now I'm getting things done like really quick. I have all this extra time on my hands now. And I really think it's the Methylene Blue that's been giving me the energy. And it's so funny because now, like, my silly husband's calling me a meth head, which is hilarious. But, so I'm going to stick on that. And I actually have some bovine coming in today, so I can't wait to try that out. I'm also going to give that to my dog because, you know, I need a lot of help, too. And I brought online that's really good for your dog if you give them, like, a small little amount of the food. So I'm going to do that. I just thought I would tell you guys about my experience with this so far.
Well, Jen, thank you. That's amazing to hear, and we love to hear that, honestly. I mean, that's the reason why Alex has created the shop, so people can get, you know, get healthier and not be relying on big pharmaceutical companies, but instead take control of their health. So that's good to hear. You know, I fluctuated weight-wise too, and so finding something that works is really important, and not to get hooked on those, like, high caffeine, insane chemicals, energy drinks, which so much of us have relied on over the years. I literally was getting anxiety from one of them. And so I too am on the blue these days. So I guess your husband would call me a meth head, but it's good to hear from you, Jen. I love it. I think it's great. And I love to hear from you as well.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Thank you.